We have an interview with Mr. CEO and co-founder of Ownify. Frank, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Outstanding. So, Ownify, I have not heard of it before. And for some of our audience out there, what is Ownify?
Ownify is a new path to home ownership for first-time home buyers. And basically, we've rethought what it means to own, how you own, and have built an equity-based path to ownership rather than a debt-based path. So think of Ownify as buying your house brick by brick rather than buying it all at once with a big mortgage.
How does that happen? So, we are investors as well as real estate agents. And typically, when somebody wants to buy a house, they call a lender. They get a pre-qualified for a mortgage loan. They find a house. They put an offer on it. 30 days later, they close on it. They have a new debt, which is a mortgage. How does that differentiate from, like, say, a traditional mortgage?
Yeah, so what we do is we don't create debt. We create an investment partnership around the home. And so the way that works is that the customer, the first-time buyer, comes to Ownify, they qualify, we underwrite them, we give them a budget. And these are generally starter homes. So think $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, depending on the market. And when the customer finds a home, we buy the home as an all cash purchase. By we, I mean Ownify. And what we do is we set up an LLC as the entity that holds title to the home. And the customer becomes a member of that LLC, or an investor effectively. The LLC issues 10,000 shares, or bricks as we call them, and the customer buys those bricks over time while living in the home. So rather than buying the home all at once with debt, pledging the title to the mortgage lender, and then paying off that debt over 30 years, which is kind of the traditional way, what we're doing is we're allowing the customer to buy into ownership by virtue of buying more shares, more bricks in that LLC over time. So you start with 2%, you get to 10%, let's say after 5 years, you can keep going and build equity, but you don't have debt in the sense that you don't have the obligation to ever pay off 100%, right? Or buy 100% of the LLC. You can buy as little or as much as you want. And effectively you're renting the rest, you're renting the fraction that you haven't bought. So think of Ownify really as a fractional ownership platform that allows you to own a fraction of the home and then rent the remainder, right? And the analogy of bricks we use, most homes in the US aren't made out of bricks anymore, but you know, you stack your own bricks and you rent the stack effectively, the balance that you haven't bought. And that fractional ownership allows us to reduce the down payment. It allows us to reduce the monthly payment, yet at the same time, give people the ability to pick a home off the MLS, right, with their agent and say, this is the one I want. It's for sale on the market. We can create an all cash offer, put you into that home, right, and give you the ability to live in it and build equity over time.
Okay. So fractional ownership, that's kind of a buzzword being thrown around real estate right now. So that's what it sounds like to me. So essentially, Ownify purchases the property, basically breaks it down into shares or bricks, and tenant / first-time home buyer that they would be can buy shares of the property as they go. And now, as they buy more shares of that property, does their rent decrease? Or is it going to stay the same until it's all
done? You got it exactly right. Right? If you, as you increase your share, your number of bricks, right, the share that you have to rent, the number of bricks that you have to pay rent on decreases. So effectively over that 5-year horizon, what we do is there's a fixed monthly payment, but within that fixed monthly payment, the fraction that goes towards rent decreases and the fraction that buys equity increases, right? And so, yes, your rent over time goes down.
This is an interesting approach with this, because if let's say that you have a tenant there, you know, let's say we had a property, Josh, and we had a tenant in there and we decided to, you know, get it off to Ownify, sell it to Ownify, or somehow, however that works, we would get into that. But essentially they could just buy shares of that property, and instead of having a mortgage debt, like you said, you're buying more interest in that property. Now, is that interest open to other investors too, or is it just exclusively to that said tenant that we're talking about who wants to own the property?
Yeah. So the tenant, or the oni, as we call them, has the exclusive right to buy equity over time, right? And they do that by making their monthly payments, right? And they're buying those bricks. And the bricks change value over time, but they're always buying, you know, a fixed amount of dollars and a variable number of bricks per month. Now, the balance, the other 9,800 bricks on day one, right, are funded by investors. And the model we've built there is that we've launched something called the Onify Home Fund, which is open to accredited investors. That's a Reg D 506C fund. And that fund invests in all the homes across the portfolio. So, Rob, to answer your question, as an investor, you couldn't pick, let's say, Joshua's home, right, and invest in Joshua's home, but not in Frank's home. You invest in the fund, and the fund in turn invests in all of the homes. And so the reason we did it that way is to make sure that we have one diversification for the fund, right, and for the investors, and also we didn't want to burden the investors with, you know, underwriting and picking the homes and potentially having exposure to bad decisions there, right? So in a long-winded way, the answer to your question is you can't invest in a single home directly. You can invest in the fund that holds bricks in, you know, a portfolio of homes.
Okay. Well, let me throw a scenario at you. Maybe let me put it in a different role. Let's say I'm an investor. I own a rental property. And yeah. I have a tenant in there, long-term tenant, doing great. Decent cash flow. I got the house appraised. They're telling me it's an entry-level house, so it's $400,000. That's what the appraiser tells me.
Yep.
I got 50-50 on the house. I got 50% debt, and I got 50% equity. Now, I want to get that $200,000 out of that house because I got some young Gen Z investors that told me that there's some cryptocurrency meme tokens that are going to the moon, and I cannot wait to get that $200,000 out so I can throw it all in there and pump up Shiba Inu.
Yeah.
So what do I do in that case? Because usually what I'll be faced with is, okay, my tenant wants to buy it. Great. I'll call up my attorney, draft up some paperwork for maybe $1,000, pay my closing costs, might be less than 1% of the value of the property, and transfer ownership. They got a loan. They bought it. That's one option I can do, just sell it to them directly. Another thing I can do is, Onify kind of sounds like a very interesting take on seller financing.
It is. And so we love that scenario, right?
Yeah.
So to the extent that you are an investor, you have a rental property, you have a tenant that potentially is interested in buying it, right? We can help you do that. And there's two paths here. The first one is the sell the home to Onify. You know, let's say your equity is $200,000. We pay you out the $200,000 and you're done. You walk off, you put that money into the meme, Dogecoin, whatever, you know, crypto, and good luck to you. And, you know, don't call me afterwards. the other scenario is a potentially even more interesting one, which is, this is the scenario where you don't want to put it into crypto, and maybe you're done managing the property, but you want to continue having cash flow. So what we've structured there for investors and landlords is the ability to sell a fraction of the home to Onify. And so what we do is we buy out a stake of your equity, not all of it, but a stake. So let's say in this scenario, we buy out $40,000 or $50,000. We run the program over the next 5 years, take the tenant that you have, turn them into an oni, right? Give them the ability to buy bricks. We put the home into the fund, but you stay as an investor in that specific LLC,
okay,
right, which is now holding title to your home, and you benefit fractionally from the income that that LLC generates, right? And you effectively roll a portion of the equity that you had in the home into that LLC, which gives you cash flow for the next 5 years or however long it takes the tenant to fully buy out the property, right? So there's the sell it all, be done, you know, move your money into crypto, or the I want to Ownify, help my tenant buy the home, right? And effectively use Ownify to structure a seller financing arrangement where I don't have to worry about the performance. I just get my, you know, passive income every quarter. And so either scenario works. What's interesting, if you think about fractional ownership, there's a, for landlords in particular, for investors, what's interesting about fractional ownership is the alignment of incentives and the change in behavior we've seen. So if I look at our current portfolio, are all starter homes, right? $300,000-$400,000. The average FICO in the portfolio is 740. So these are pristine people with great credit. They have very, you know, I'd say solid incomes. So they make monthly payments on time. We've not had a single late payment. We've not had a single day of vacancy because customers pick the home, we buy the home, and they start payment from day one. And we've not had any turnover, right? So no vacancy, on-time payments. And what's interesting from a this co-ownership perspective is we've seen about 60% lower maintenance costs on the portfolio compared to SFR because people take care of the property, right? The goal is ultimately to own it. They're owning a fraction of it already. Their fraction increases every month. So they're acting much more like owners than like tenants. And so all of those things together ultimately result in higher yield to the investor, right? You're just building a portfolio of homes that performs better than your standard SFR portfolio. And so as you think about that scenario, Rob, that you outlined, right, an owner or an investor who has maybe 5 or 10 properties, there's an opportunity here to increase the yield on that portfolio by selling it fractionally, you know, kind of through the Ownify program to the tenants that are in there or potentially new customers who are interested.
This is a very interesting take. So because you're really thinking of this piece of property, like if you're looking at it from an investor's perspective or even from an owner's regular fee simple owner perspective, you have, you look at it as a business essentially. You can say, you know what, I would like to sell a stake in my property over to Ownify or if you have an Oni and what you guys call it, and they, let's say, own 10% of the property. I don't know if there's a minimum buy-in, you know, but they own a percentage of that property and that tenant is not going anywhere.
Right.
They are invested in that property. So it's going to be hard to walk away, even if you have a minority share in that property, to not treat it like it's yours. So that's a very interesting way to keep a long-term tenant while also, creating this investment, this unique investment opportunity with Ownify. So, wow, that's interesting. How did you come up with this?
So there's a piece at the core of this that is actually pretty unique and interesting, and it's not something that has been done before, and that's what makes this work, which is if you think about treating a home like a business, right, and you're placing it into an LLC and then you issue shares and you sell those shares to investors and the Oni can buy in, what implicitly we're saying, and we haven't addressed it, is that that business fluctuates in value, right? That $400,000 home goes up in value. It can go down in value, right? So it can be $410,000, $390,000, et cetera. And so when we talk about the Oni buying bricks and the investor holding bricks and those bricks generating rental income, one of the implicit things here is that those bricks change value, right? That $400,000 home on day one, bricks are $40. If that home value goes to $410,000, now the bricks are worth $41, right? And the customer is buying bricks at $41 or they're selling bricks at $41 versus, you know, $40. And so because we're treating it as equity and not debt, there is no fixed value. There's no fixed balance. And that means, one, we value each home every month. We strike a valuation on each home using third-party AVMs. It also means that as an investor, I'm participating in home price appreciation, right? And the Oni is participating in home price appreciation. We're just doing that as shareholders of an entity rather than through Fee Simple, right? As Rob, you mentioned, debt balance against it. And so that's one of the things that, it took us a while to figure this out, is valuing each home every month in a reliable fashion so that we can strike the brick price, right? And then trade the bricks on that valuation.
Well, let me ask this. If I'm an Oney and I bought 20% equity stake in 123 Main Street, what if I need to move out of the state or something? And can I sell my my interest in the property to somebody else or back to you guys? How does that work?
You sell it back to Ownify. So the Oney has two options at any point along the way. One option is they can buy the rest of the home from the investor pool at current market value, right? Or whatever future market value at that point. And they can also sell their stake back to Ownify. Now, in the case where they sell their stake, they're effectively saying, I'm selling the home, right? I'm moving out of state. And in that case, we charge them a relisting fee, which is equivalent to the brokerage fee that a Fee Simple owner would incur, right? You bought the home with a mortgage, 3 years in, you decide to sell it, you're going to put it on the market and you're probably paying, 6% depending on the market. So what we're saying is we're going to charge you a relisting fee if you trigger the sale. And that relisting fee is 4% and it melts away to 2% through the life of the 5-year agreement, which effectively creates a bit of a disincentive to do that, right? But is not as punitive as the full brokerage fee. And again, we buy back equity at whatever future market value. So if your bricks have appreciated from 40 to, let's say, $45 or $48, we'll buy them back at, $48 and charge you that relisting fee.
Okay. So is this any property that could be an Ownify property, or are you guys looking for something that's really good condition, lots of life left on the major systems and stuff like that? Or is, because Josh and I, when sometimes we get into investments, we buy houses that are the ugliest things you've ever seen in your life. Got to rehabilitate them, sometimes, Yeah. So what, is this for any house, any junk house, or has it got to be a gem that's an investable?
It doesn't have to be a gem, but it has to be pretty close to a gem, right? And so generally what we look for is, less than 5, maybe 6% of the purchase price to go into what we call make ready. So make ready is not major repairs. It's not, the fixer upper and the junk house. It's something that might be a little lived down and rough around the edges, and we will fix it up, right? But generally, we're not in the fix and flip or in a rehab business. It's pick a home off the MLS. Ideally, it's in pristine condition, right? And maybe requires a little bit of upfront work.
Yeah, little paint, little carpet, something like that.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think generally, the customer here, if you look at the profile of who we're working with, these are younger people, right? They're in their 20s, maybe early 30s. They have college degrees. They want to live somewhere where it's uncomplicated, right? Part of the appeal is 2% down, fixed monthly payment. You don't have to worry about repairs and maintenance and property taxes and insurance. We take care of all of that, right? There's no other payment, no surprises. And so in a way, what we're appealing to and what we're attracting are folks who want home ownership and equity without all the hassles and heartache, right? And so the last thing they want is dealing with a 3 months renovation project. That's not the ideal customer profile here.
Right.
That being said, we do work with investors and builders, right, who buy the rehab and fix it up. And then that becomes a starter home for someone on our platform, right, once the work is done. So that's definitely an opportunity here.
That's interesting. So how did you come up with Ownify? Were you just smoking a cigar one day and said, it would be a great idea? Sometimes those ideas come up that way. So
I wasn't smoking anything when I came up with it, but my last role is I started and built a company called Nomis Solutions and ran that as CEO for 15 years. And so Nomis was the pricing engine for a lot of the large mortgage lenders. And so I got really deep into mortgage math, right? And as part of that, also in the data for a lot of the large lenders, saw this problem that first-time buyers are getting squeezed out more and more, right? And the reason is home prices keep going up. Mortgage rates are back to their probably long run average, right? In the mid fives. They're not down there yet, but they will be in the mid fives at some point. You have student debt that's weighing on people's ability to save for the down payment. You have private equity buying single family homes. So you're competing against Wall Street and all cash buyers, right? And so all of these things are coming together. And what we started seeing was more and more people getting squeezed out, average age of the first time buyer going up. Everyone knows that problem anecdotally. And so ultimately looked at this and said, this is a generational problem. And this is a big issue, right? It's socially very much regressive, right? It impacts people who don't have parents who can help them with the down payment, right? And so really wanted to do something with my knowledge and my expertise. And so ultimately I sold that prior company and started Ownify, got venture funding, got it off the ground, right? We're now live in Raleigh, Durham, the Triangle. We just launched Nashville. We're going to launch Atlanta and then work our way across, you know, markets in the US. And long-term, the goal is really to establish fractional ownership as a viable alternative to the mortgage, right? For first-time home buyers as an alternative path and an on-ramp, right? That is easier to achieve and doesn't require you to save up the down payment and wait for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years before you can afford a home.
I like it. But what I just realized is I'm taking up all your time, and my colleague over here, Josh, you got some questions for this man. I know we're on a short timeline and I'm being very, very greedy here with this guy's time. So what do you got?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, hats off to you, Frank, and starting Ownify and coming up with a solution to a lot of problems that people have. You know, one of the biggest things when I seen your, your PR team, reach out to us, it was your background. You come from Germany, a violinist, Rattlesnakes was in there somewhere.
I saw that too.
Like, how does all of that come to, you working at one point at FICO as well? So you had a lot of influence and a lot of background in financing with FICO and Numis, and now you're tackling a real estate problem. Like, how does all that come from being a future potential prodigy as a violinist as well?
I was never the prodigy. I think that was part of the challenge, right?
Was that sister that became the prodigy? I think I read that.
My sister became the prodigy. I was, you know, my family are all musicians. And so I grew up in a family of you know, musicians. And that was the expectation, but I was terrible at it. And my sister was really good at it. And that probably led to me eventually saying, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm going to the US. I'm going to study business. I got into this career that was financial services, fintech, before it was called fintech, right? We started an online insurance company way back when, and then spent a number of years at FICO in the bowels of credit underwriting, then into Numis and mortgages and lending and all that. So really the, you know, the
insurance
journey
company.
Was,
you had an insurance company too?
I was, yeah, we started an insurance company back in the first internet boom. and the goal there was to help people get car insurance and homeowners insurance, right, in a smarter, faster, easier way than was possible at the time with the offline agency-based business. So I've been in and around this space of starting kind of, you know, financial services businesses for a while, and really wanted to take the learnings and the experience I've had to now solve a problem that is really, you know, a hard one and a difficult one. But if you can solve it, incredibly valuable, right? The ability for people to own property, build wealth, build memories, right? The impact it has on stability. I mean, you know this, you're in real estate, right? We're all helping people achieve that dream. And there was a piece missing. And the reason the piece was missing, you know, was that banks and lenders are conservative. They're still scared away from, you know, leaning into helping people, largely because of the financial crisis, you know, the GFC 15 years ago now. Underwriting standards are still difficult. You know, we're still using very old technology to evaluate people's income, to evaluate their creditworthiness, their ability to pay. And so you know, rethinking that structure was a worthwhile exercise. Because if you can help people into home ownership, I mean, you know this, the rewards are huge.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Frank, I see a lot on different social media platforms and that, and a lot of the reason why the private finance companies are buying up, you know, single family homes in the middle class price point is because they believe that the future is you will rent everything and own nothing and you will be happy. Where do you see that trend, and do you fall in line with that thinking, or do you think something totally different?
I think something totally different. I think when you talk to young people about home ownership, right? The thing they hate about renting is, one, I don't get to build equity. I don't, you know, have the ability to participate in home price appreciation. I know that home prices keep going up. We all hear the stories. We all read the same things, right? So this is an investment that my parents have made, my friends have made, everyone else has made. So one, renting doesn't give you equity, doesn't give you the ability to grow equity. So they don't like this. The second thing people don't like is when I'm renting, my landlord increases my rent every year, right? 3 to 5%, depending on where I live. Folks hate this, right? And so you're constantly paying more for something that doesn't build equity. And this is really where we're, you know, we talked about 1,000 first-time buyers early on to really dial in the solution and figure out how we help here. Those two things, I think, will always be the case, right? So this idea that a big New York-based PE firm can say, hey, you don't need to own, you can just rent these houses. I mean, that's a short-term solution. That's not a long-term solution, right? And so I think giving people the ability to work towards ownership and get onto that ladder, right, get onto the on-ramp is super important. And I do think that you see this in some of the communities and some of the public discourse. There's pushback, right? There's pushback against Blackstone coming in, buying up 10,000 homes, turning them into rentals, right? Now, whether that pushback is effective or not is a separate question, but I do think there should be private market solutions that give people the ability to build ownership, be on a different path than just that, you know, I just have to rent because I can't afford to buy, right? And that's how we're trying to tackle it.
Yeah, I like it. And I just got a quick question for you. So for any of our viewers out there, you know, for first-time homebuyers specifically, there's always that fear of owning a home and then the process of going through and getting credit checked and everything. And, you know, with your background at FICO, what are some tips you can provide to first-time homebuyers who are looking to improve their financial readiness in order to purchase a home?
Yeah, so you generally should have three things, right, to purchase a home or to qualify for financing. And the first one is income, the second one is credit, and the third one is a down payment. Now, with Ownify, we basically help you jump over the down payment hurdle and say you don't need the down payment, or you need a significantly lower down payment with just 2%, but you do need income and you do need decent credit. Now, obviously, everyone wants to make more money, earn more, right? And managing your own career and your own prospects is important. But on the credit side, and I think, Joshua, that's really what you're asking, right? What are some of the tips on how to manage credit? It's, you know, be diligent about paying your bills on time. That's the number one thing. Use credit responsibly, meaning, yes, use some credit, but pay it off as much as you can, right? The ratio, and this is one of the key things that determines your FICO or your credit score, the ratio of your used to your unused balance is important. Keep that below 30%, right? So if you have a $5,000 credit limit on two cards, right, use $1,500 or less, right? Which means, and pay that off on time every month, right? And over time, you're building up your FICO score. When you do move, make sure you terminate your obligations. So you see a lot of credit reports where people have stuff going into collections because they moved out of an apartment and they didn't realize that the utility bill was still in their name, right? Or some hangover from somewhere, right, where you didn't pay something, it went into collections. That impacts your credit score in a negative way. And it takes 6, 9, 12 months of diligent work to build it back up, right? So make sure you keep your FICO, your credit score. Now, there are free tools, right? You can go to myfico.com. You can go to any of the credit bureaus to review your credit report, look at what your credit score is at any given point. And it'll tell you, here are the reasons why it's, let's say, less than pristine, right? And ideally, you if you can, work on those reasons, right? And get it above 680, which is generally considered prime, right? We work with people above 600, but you don't want your credit score to be in the 500s or below, right? Because you won't be able to not just afford a home, but, you know, get a car loan and you know, any sort of debt and financial solution. So working on your credit, super important.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to have to wrap this up here soon, but I'm going to shotgun a few questions for you here real quick. So first one, if someone wants to get started with Ownify, how can they do that? Second one is, what markets are you currently in? And the last one is, how is Ownify planning to continue innovating in real estate and impacting home ownership?
All right. So the first question, come to ownify.com. And you can go through the application process. It takes 15 minutes. It's free. It doesn't impact your credit report. It doesn't hit your credit report. So it's very easy to do that. And second question, today we're live in the Triangle in Nashville. We're launching Atlanta. But if you are looking to buy a home in the next 3 to 6 months, come to the website. There's a list that we keep and we ask you, where are you looking to buy? And we're launching markets based on partially that input. I had to say, if we have a lot of, we just had a lot of folks come in from Minneapolis, St. Paul, right? And so that's on the list. So if we're not launched in your market, that doesn't matter. Come in and apply and, you know, we'll get back to you. And then third question, Joshua, is really, you know, the long-term goal here is to help 100,000 people over the next 10 years, right? And so really where we're innovating is we have a structure out there today that is 2% down, build up to 10%, right, over 5 years. We're going to continue innovating around that structure. We're going to continue innovating around how we help landlords and investors ownify some of their tenants, right? We think that's a big opportunity. We're working on partnerships with builders and some of the larger investors so that folks, you know, who have large portfolios can help some of their customers and tenants become owners. And so, you know, the overarching vision here is, how do we turn more renters into owners? And you know, that's why we named the company Ownify, right? That is really the long-term goal. And the innovation around this will be, you know, broadening the product footprint, broadening the tools that we have that we can bring to the table to the buyers and to realtors for that matter, right? As the partner in this whole transaction.
All right.
Awesome. All right. That's going to be wrapping it up. Frank, is there anything you would like to add?
No, I just thank you for having me on the pod. And if you're an investor, obviously come check us out at Ownify as well. If you're an accredited investor, right, subject to all the SEC caveats that are on the site, read that carefully. But no, Rob and Joshua, thanks for having me.
Awesome.
Really appreciate it.
Yep, thanks. And around for just a 1 minute before after we end here, but just to make sure we get that video uploaded from you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you like this video, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Like the video, leave a comment below. Check out the description below and visit ownify.com. With that, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you soon.